88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
And we thank you for being here this morning. Glad to see Attorney Harris in the house. We welcome you. He's running to be our district attorney here in Rapis Parish. We are grateful to all of you for taking out of your busy schedule to be here. If you have your Bible with you, will you please stand with me in reference to the Word of God? The book is Matthew, the chapter is 27, and verse number 46, just one verse. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Thank you, musicians and worship team. We appreciate your ministry. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why in the world hast thou forsaken me?" Please remain standing as we pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for the opportunity to worship you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this church called Zion Hill. Thank you for all of our members. Thank you for those who are here, those who are home live streaming. Thank you for all of our guests, those who are live streaming all over the world. We are grateful for the opportunity to worship together, to fellowship together. This morning, by faith, we cancel out every attack of the enemy concerning each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, O God, that you build an edge of protection around each of us, around our family, around our children. Lord, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus against COVID-19 or any other virus out there. Lord, we thank you for good health. We thank you that we're clothed in a right mind. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us this morning. Use me as a channel of blessing to your people. Have your way in this house. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you on the subject titled, "What to Do When God is Silent." You and I need to know what to do when God is silent. The passage I just read to your hearing is about Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. Very familiar to all of us. He was mistreated, he was abused. He was lied upon, he was spit upon. And at this point, he's hanging on the cross, and he was in pain. Amen. hurting physically, mentally, emotionally. He was in torment, literally gasping for air. And it's in the midst of that he cried out. The Bible says he cried out, not just cried out, but in a loud voice. That's a cry of desperation. And it's basically saying, my God, why is it that you are silent? Ladies and gentlemen, let me submit to you that this life that you and I live in is a journey. And in that journey, we all go through some times of highs and some times of lows. In case you don't know, whether you're a boy or girl, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're white or black, in this journey called life, you will go through some valleys and you will go through some mountains. Am I right about it?
Yes,
no one is exempt from this experience. No one is isolated from pain or struggle or even disappointment. Sometimes mistreatment and sometimes rejection. And these valley moments in our life comes in different forms. Sometimes it may be in our relationship. Sometimes it may be physical. Sometimes it may be emotional. And believe it or not, sometimes it may be financial. So we experience low moments in different forms. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, there are seasons when it seems the whole world is caving in on you. And you look around, it looks like God is nowhere to be found. Theologians called it hidden moments of life. They describe it as a time when God is hidden, or when God is silent, or when God is quiet. The question is, why on earth will God be silent sometimes in our lives? Why will God be silent, especially when we need him? This past week, if you're following this ministry, I try my best to explain and suggest some reasons why God is silent sometimes in our lives. I share with you, number one, you will find out God is not talkative. Why is he not talkative? Because his word has value. So it's not like you and me just running his mouth. If he say, let there be light, it's going to be light. So you're not going to find him just talking as much as we want him to talk to us. Secondly, I mentioned to you that God is suffering, meaning that he is God Almighty. He is not our errand boy. He's not our servant that we can bust around and command him, go here, come here, stand up. No. The Bible says he does what pleases him. Another reason that we mentioned to us why God is silent sometimes is because of our unconfessed sins. The Bible said that our sin separates us from God. You don't want God to be separated from you. You don't want God not to hear you when you pray. And finally, we talk about Another reason why God is silent is because of our incomplete obedience. Many of us, we are notorious for giving God delayed obedience or partial obedience. We do a lot of things in church, but we don't obey God. But the Bible says to obey is better than all of our sacrifice. Please permit me to add a few more reasons why God is silent. You remember in the book of St. Mark, chapter 4, verse 37, how Jesus and his disciples, they were traveling on the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says all of a sudden there arose a big storm. And everybody start panicking. It's like you and me, all of a sudden, things got bad. You find yourself in sickness. You find yourself being laid off on the job. Relationship that you have infested a lot of years goes sour on you. Unexpected storm. So the disciples got scared. They were afraid. In fact, things got so bad, they start throwing things overboard just to lighten the weight of the boat. But one thing that was so amazing is that in the midst of that, Jesus was with them, but they noticed that he was silent. The question is, why would God be silent in the midst of our trouble? In fact, the Bible said not only was he silent, he was sound asleep. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, but if you remember in that story, what happened was that the disciples went and woke him up. They didn't care whether he was tired. They said, no, we need you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, notice there are lessons we can learn from that experience. Sometimes God is silent to draw us closer to him. Did you hear what I said? If you notice, when there is no storm, typically we don't seek God. And if everything is going smoothly in our life, if everything is going well, typically most human beings do not seek God. If there is no stress in your life, if there is no pressure in my life, if there is no strain in our life, we tend to drift away from church. Church is no priority. We don't pray that much, because everything seems to be going fine. We don't seek God. But you just wait until trouble comes. All of a sudden, we start to cry out unto God. We go to church more. We read our Bible more. We even pray more. So sometimes God allows us to go through storm. Sometimes God is silent so as to draw us closer to him. Because in his silence, when we get in trouble and our back is against the wall, we draw close to God. Are you still here? Another reason why sometimes God is silent, ladies and gentlemen, is because he wants to increase our faith. You look at that story again. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. When the storm hit, when they were panicking, notice Jesus' reaction when they woke him up. He asked them, why are you all so afraid? He asked them, why are you operating with no faith? The same thing is true for you and me. When we become Christian, the Bible says we have the measure of faith. But that faith has to be developed. But how do you move from a baby faith to a grown woman faith or to a grown man faith? How do you move from a kindergarten faith to a high school faith? The only way God can do it is to allow you to go through some things. So sometimes you have to remain silent so that you can grow. Are you all still here? It will allow you to go through some situation where you are forced to the corner to trust God more.
Yes, sir.
Are you all still here? Just think about it. If God needs you for a big assignment, and that assignment requires a college-level faith, how are you going to get from kindergarten faith to a college faith? God will have to be silent in your life sometimes and allow you to go through some things so that when you get through some things, then will prepare you for the assignment God has given you. God knows you're not going to make it with a kindergarten faith. God knows you're not going to be able to raise that child as a single mother with a baby faith. He knows you will fail trying to pastor a church when you can't even believe God for a headache to be healed. So sometimes God allows us to go through and God becomes silent so that he can increase our faith. I said, so that he can draw us closer, so that he can increase our faith. Let me give you one more reason to make number 7. Another reason why God is silent is to reveal himself to us in a new way. Mark chapter 4, verse 41, in that same story bears truth to what I'm saying. If you notice, when Jesus speaks to that storm and say, peace be still, and when everything became calm, the disciples look at each other. They say, did I miss something? What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. You know why they were shocked? They've never seen him in that regard before. They've seen him cast out demons. They've watched him heal the lame. They've watched him heal the blind. But they never seen him control nature. The same thing with you and me. Many of us knew him as our Savior. But not until you get sick and he healed your body. Now you not only know him as a Savior, now you know him as a healer. So sometimes you be silent to reveal to you a new dimension of himself. Because you think you know God. I think I know God, but I don't know all of him. And so God will allow things. God will let you go through some stuff. God will pull back so that he can show you a new dimension of himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I can testify to that. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as a young man. There was no doubt in my mind that he is my Savior. But when my money got funny, when my credit got jacked up, and God made a way, now I know him not only as my Savior, not only as my healer, now I know him as my provider. That's why I can say the Lord will make a way. somehow. When your mind is keeping on you, and the Lord step in and clothe you in your right mind. If you don't believe me, you talk to that maniac of Gadara. He'll tell you, you may know him as your savior. You may know him as your provider, but I know him as a mind regulator. Are you all still here this morning? And if you're in a tight spot, have you ever been in a tight spot? When bills are due, when children are crying, whether it's for school supplies or they just want a piece of toy, something simple, and you know in your knowing you don't have the means. But somehow, some way, the Lord made a way. Then you know him as a way maker. Amen, somebody. So what am I trying to tell you? We say God is not talkative. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We said to you, God is silent sometimes because he's suffering. Say amen.
Amen.
We said to you, God is silent because our sins separate us from him.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
We share with you sometimes God is silent because our partial, incomplete obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're suggesting to you sometimes God is silent to draw you closer to him. We say sometimes God is silent to build your faith. We're saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God is silent so as to show you something new about himself that you didn't know before. Now you know him as a way maker. Now you know him as a healer. Now you know him as a provider. Now you know him as Jehovah Nissi. Now you know him as Jehovah Rapha. Now you know him as Jehovah Tiskuno. Now you know him as Jehovah Shalom. He is peace in the midst of a storm. Do I have a witness in the house? Now you know why God is silent sometimes. But then what do? When he's silent. That's my assignment today. The first thing I will advise you, and I'm talking from personal experience. You need to learn when you're on top of the mountain. Learn to make wise decisions. Are you listening to me? The wise decision you make when you're on top of the mountain, it will sustain you when you find yourself in the valley. Are you still here? While you are in the light, make wise calls. You cannot knowingly go and marry a crackhead and then wonder how you're going to make it when things get rough. Are you still here? This is very important because when you and I find ourselves in darkness or in the valley, our thinking is shaking. We begin to question even our own self. We begin to indict our own self. We begin to think wrong. Some of us would think maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I committed some sin. Maybe I messed up. And it may be none of that. That is why when you are on top of the mountain, when God is blessing you, when you're in your right mind, when you are blessed, when you have no problem, make sound decisions. What do you do when you find yourself in the valley? What do you do when God is silent? Number two, I would suggest to you, don't focus on what you're going through. whether it's persecution, whether it's suffering, don't focus on that. What you need to do is to focus on what God has taught you. There are some things that you have learned. Believe me when I tell you, I've been through some silence. That I cry out to God, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. I've been through some valley. Yes, people will visit you in the hospital. But at some point, everybody will leave. You get to talk to the good Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, the question is, how are you going to survive when God is silent? When it looks like he's not listening to you? When it looks like he's not paying attention to you? When it looks like he's not doing what you ask him to do? I'll tell you what you do. You need to recall. There's something called memory recall. You need to recall scriptures that you have learned that God has taught you. You need to recall some songs, some hymns. Are you all still here? Those are the things that will sustain you. David put it this way. You need to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You have to draw strength. That is why it's important, whether you're having Sunday school in your church, whether you're having church school, whether you're having Bible study, whether it's your own individual Bible study, whether it's your own individual prayer life, whether it's song that you learn as a little child. Those things are in you. You don't need a book to remember that. It's in your spirit. Let it come alive. I remember Thomas Darcy when he lost his child, when he lost his wife. As a musician, he wrote that song, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. See, songs like that will sustain you. He said, I'm tired. Have you ever been tired? I can relate to him. He said, I'm weak. I'm worn. He said, through this storm, through the night when everybody is gone home, I'm counting on you, Lord, to lead me on. He said, take my hand. Hallelujah. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. You see, there are some hymns in your spirit as you're sitting and looking at me now. There are some scripture in your soul. When it seems like God is silent, encourage yourself. It will pick you up. Only God knows how many times I would get on my choir, my singing people. I say, please don't sing because you like singing. Say, these songs are powerful. These songs are life-changing. Don't just cook the food. Eat from the table. Because the day will come. I'm speaking to you as a preacher. Sometimes the sermons I preach to you sustain me when I'm in trouble. You need to be able to encourage yourself. Are you still here? I remember Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he sent for Timothy, one of his mentees. He said, Timothy, I want you to come and visit me. And he said, when you come, bring me three things. He said, number one, bring me some clothes. He said, number two, bring me some books. He said, number three, bring me some parchment. He requested for clothes to keep his body warm. He requested for book to stir up his mind. I'm privileged to teach at the college, Louisiana College, as a professor. I tell those kids all the time. They would say, how do you achieve all these things? I say, it's very simple. It's what you read. What you read will make your tomorrow. I say, it's the association you keep. I would tell them, I'm not smarter than you. I'm a brother from the motherland. I have the same struggle you have. I said, but what's your association? And then I would tell them, it's what you are exposed to. One of the reasons we got a boss, a big boss for this church, is to get people to go out of this neighborhood, go somewhere and see the real world out there. Ain't nothing wrong with a neighborhood, but oh, bless God when you see a whole lot more. Paul said, bring me some book to stir up my mind. When you are tired, when you are lonely, when you are isolated, when it looks like God is silent, you need something to stir up your mind. He said, bring me some parchment. Ladies and gentlemen, he needed a parchment to inspire his soul. When I tell you, remember those songs, remember those sermons, remember those scriptures, that's your pickup when the devil is trying to raise his ugly head. Are you still here? And let me end by saying silence does not mean God has forsaken you. Silence does not mean God is not working. So I encourage you, don't find yourself complaining and murmuring when it seems like God is silent. When you're going through a difficult time, try your very best. There's a reason why Job said, though he slay me, yet I'm going to be singing. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to praise him. Many of us, we mess ourselves up. The moment we find ourselves back to the corner, we stop serving God. We stop coming to church. We stop whining and having a pity party. That's the very time you need to move closer to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth be told, before you can become famous, before you can see notoriety in your life, you must go through a season of obscurity. Are you listening to me? I have one of my sons in the ministry here. One of his famous questions to me, how do I get there? It's right here in front of me. And I will remind him over and over again, you have to go through some valley before you can get to the mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, the time that you think God is silent, that you think God has forsaken you, he is actually preparing you. I don't know too many success stories who have not been through something. If you don't believe me, look at the life of David. If you don't believe me, look at the life of Esther. I mean, we can talk about one night with the king. We can talk about his queen. But don't forget what she went through before she became a queen. Don't forget what David went through before he became a king. Don't forget what Joseph went through before he was placed as minister in Egypt. Let me say this in conclusion. Whenever you find yourself in the valley and it looks like God is silent, don't compare your experience with other people. Run your own race. Don't say, why me, Lord? Look at that sister we were classmates. She got a husband. Why not me? Look at that preacher. We were called to ministry the same time. We started pastoring in the same year. Why him? Your envy and jealousy will hinder your blessing. As long as you compare yourself with other people, you will stay frustrated. And sometimes it always looks like the grass is greener on the other side. But what you see is not. I wish I can testify sometimes. Are you all still here? Guess what I'm trying to tell you? Your years of isolation, your years of darkness, your years of silence of God, your years of rejection, those are very important years in your life. Why is it important? Those are the years when God will mold you and shape you for his glory. David wrote the best of his psalms when he was running for his life. When you hear something as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That was not written in good time. You talk to serious musicians, they will tell you the best of their songs is written when they're in crisis. The best of the sermons you preach as a pastor is when you go through. David said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, he's telling you. He said, don't think I'm a big king with a crown on my head. I'm going through something. It may be diagnosis. It may be relationship. It may be a child that is giving you hell. But yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil. You know why he said that? He said, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that know the Lord is with you? It don't matter what is going on. It don't matter what the media say. It don't matter what anybody say. Deep inside of you, you just know that you know the Lord is with you. I believe God is getting ready to bless somebody this morning. And you know one thing I love about God? When it's time for God to bless you, no devil can stop it. Hallelujah. I wish I had me a witness in the house. When God get ready to heal your body, nobody can stop it. When God get ready to bless you, nobody can get in the way of your miracle. Today, as we prepare for the communion, I want each of us to examine our life and ask yourself, is there any sin in my life that will separate me from God, that will prevent God from hearing me? Ask yourself, is my life a life of incomplete obedience? Only you can answer those questions. How is your prayer life? Do you pray only when you are in trouble? The Bible says men should pray always. Women should pray always. You have to examine your life and say, am I the kind of Christian that pray always? If you're not, then that's what we call partial obedience. One of the things you can do this morning is just to tell God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doubting you. I've had to do that in my own life. I'm sorry for not recognizing you. This is the same God that promised you and say, I have a plan for you. And that plan is good, not of evil. A plan to give you an expected end. But now you're thinking he's silent from you. If he had a plan for you, don't you think he's big enough to carry out that plan? This is the same God who said, I never leave you. I never forsake you. I don't know about you. Many times I had to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. For me to even think that you are forsaking me, forgive me. I should know better. You've been so good to me. Your record speaks for itself. And I want to invite those of you who are live streaming with us. If you are experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing here in the house, there's a number under the screen. Dial that number. Ask God to forgive you. Ain't no shame in my game. Don't be fooled by three-piece suit on me. Don't be fooled by my notoriety. I've had to face God and say, Lord, I missed it. I am sorry. Give me another chance. There are some ministers of the gospel who are waiting on the other line to rejoice with you, to pray with you. Yeah. Believe me when I tell you, it's the best decision you will ever make. As our worship team comes before us and we get ready for the communion, let me encourage you, if you have come today to give, our ushers, Sister Clayton, and the rest of the team, they will serve you as you're going out. Please give as the Lord prosper you. One of the best things you can give, you can do to obey God is to give. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Those are not my words. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. Then say, if you do that, your barn will be filled with plenty. Your purse will burst out with new wine. I don't know too many people who don't want plenty in their life. Where to get there, you have to learn to give. I gave my way to serious blessing in my life. I told God, I'm tired of giving $1. I'm tired of stopping on my way to the church and getting change. I said, I need promotion in my life. And the Lord said, you can give your way into wealth. I will hope that you will let God speak to you. Those of you who are watching us and live streaming, you can join us in giving also. Go to our website, zionhill.com. There's an opportunity for online giving. And believe me when I tell you, your giving will cause God to move you from a land of not enough to a land of more than enough. God bless you. It's time for us to receive the Holy Communion.
Dream. never lose his love. Oh, he reaches.
He reaches.
Oh, yes.
To the high.
To the highest
mountain.
Oh, and it flows.
And it flows.
Oh, yes, it does.
To the low.
To the lowest
valley.
The blood and it gives me strength from day to day. Never, 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 never lose. Oh, thank God, it reaches. Oh, yes, it does. To the highest
mountain.
Praise God. I pray everyone been served. Praise God. I love this time of the service. I love our fourth Sunday because we're able to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to remember what he have done for us. It is a blessing once you think over it and reflect and how he sacrificed his son for the well-being of us. Praise God. In John 6:54, and I was asking the Lord to give me a scripture, and the reason why he gave me the scripture, because of these crazy times, and I notice in conversation of people is that they're questioning their destination when they leave this earth. And so I'm here to actually confirmed that our destination, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to know your destination today. In John 6:54, it says, "Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath meaning present right now, have eternal life." Sometimes you hear that you have eternal life once you leave this earth. The word of God said you have it now. Then it goes on to say, and he's saying, in the last days, I will raise you up. That's a confirmation to me and you, and we reflect in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, what you've done for on Calvary for us, Lord God, that we have eternal life, Lord God, through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that anyone have not made you as a Lord and a Savior, Lord, that they choose today to make you Lord and Savior, Lord God. And Lord, as we reflect and as we, God, look over our own lives, Lord God, if we fail you anywhere, Lord God, I ask you to forgive us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. That you say we judge ourselves, that Lord, we will not be judged. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you that your word is holy unto us. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, God. And we thank you that, God, we have eternal life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat. Let's drink of his blood. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We turn it over back to our praise team. Praise God.
Have a great day and a great week in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
What's this now? Time to dance a different dance. Time to dance a godly dance. Let me hear you say, oh, come, come now, come, come now, say. Strife. If he didn't love me, don't know where I would be. Halfway out of my mind, somewhere living crazy. But one day the Lord see fit to reach down. He take away my sin and it turned my life around. Told me if I sow a seed, I shall wear a crown. If I serve the devil, now I'd have to be a clown. That's why we be dancing.
Ever dancing, ever dancing,
oh, yeah.
Ever dancing,
oh, yeah.
The Jehovah dance.
He be dancing,
ever dancing,
Jehovah dance.
Oh, yeah.
It's a godly dance.
Not Jehovah dance.
But let me tell you something that's true. The Lord, he come to earth and he come to bring us life. Was the perfect man become the perfect sacrifice? They nail him to a cross through the hands and the feet. But he don't want no props or no publicity. He laid down his life, man, for you and for me. And go back to the Father and leave the Holy Ghost for free. That's why we be dancing,
hey,
we be dancing,
dancing,
we be dancing,
hey, we dancing.
That's your whole
dance.
In the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yeah, we dance
each and every
yeah,
day.
Dancing.
In a crazy way. Follow me now, follow me now, follow me now. Watch this, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Come to bring us together so no one could ever divide us. Coming again one day real soon, coming again with fire. We know not the day that he come to take us higher.
Oh, 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 oh.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on